episode 64, How to Use Cash Envelopes Effectively with Allison Baggerly from Inspired Budget.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Allison and Jill.
Welcome, welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. This is Jill, and I have Allison here with me from Inspired Budget. Hey, Allison.
Hey, Jill. How's it going?
Good. So if this sounds a little bit unusual to you all as listeners, it is. And here's why. Jen gave birth to a human, like a real live baby. He's so adorable. His name is Kairos. And she is spending some time with him, taking that maternity leave. So we've got some fantastic things still going on, though, with Frugal Friends, because Allison is my stand-in co-host, Frugal Friend, and all things getting out of debt and budgeting. And she's just a wealth of knowledge. You will remember her. If you've been following along with us for a long time, we interviewed her in episode 18, all about her and her family's massive debt payoff of $111,000 and how she did that. I, of course, sloppily titled that like How Allison Got Out of Debt with Babies.
With babies.
So then people were like, wait, she used her babies?
I used my babies to get out of debt. Yeah. No, I just had babies while we were getting out of debt. That was.
I'm a podcaster, not a blogger. Very clearly, that writing is not always my forte. But anyways, Allison's from Inspired Budget, and she teaches women how to budget, make savings become second nature, and pay off debt. So she's got some amazing stuff, which I'm sure we will talk about throughout this podcast. She'll be joining me for two more podcasts, so you'll get to know this lovely lady a lot better, I'm sure. But check her out. We'll talk about her website and all that, but she's also on Instagram, so follow her. It's worth it. I'm so excited about this. We've been planning this for so many months, so to finally be doing it is amazing.
I know. So. I'm so excited. And for everyone out there, if you hear kids in the background, I'm a mom. So
yeah. with babies, you heard about
it. I'm not telling them to pay off debt, but I am a mom with babies. I've tried to warn them, listen, mommy's working, but you know, they are loud.
It doesn't always go as planned, you know, when you podcast with babies.
Yeah, no, doesn't always go as planned, but that's okay.
That's awesome. Well, let's get into our sponsors, and then we will get into some content about how to use cash envelopes, because this is something you're really good at, Allison. So I'm excited to not only explore what the internet has to say, but also hear from you on how this works for you. So it's going to be a fantastic episode, but sponsors.
Okay. So our first sponsor is Ebates. We love and use Ebates all the time. So we wanted to give them a shout out. If you've never used it, Ebates is a shopping portal where you can get cash back on purchases from your favorite stores. We use it for Groupon, Amazon, Walmart, Target, travel sites, and more. So if you haven't tried Ebates yet, we've got a $10 welcome bonus for you on your purchase of $25 or more when you sign up through frugalfriendspodcast.com/Ebates.
Nice. I actually am so stoked about Ebates, regardless of them, you know, giving us some kickbacks. I actually use them. I just booked a vacation to Europe in November. Yeah. Side note, super excited about that. So I did it through Groupon, which already gave me a discount. Mm-hmm. And then even through, I got onto Groupon through Ebates, and I think I'm getting like 6% cash back on that trip. So I'm about to get over $100 back on a trip that I booked already at discount rate. Yeah, it's really fantastic. So if you don't know what it is, check it out. And definitely check it out through that link that Allison just mentioned, because you'll get even more bonuses.
And it's free. Yeah, like, I feel like people need to know it's free. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. It's totally free.
Nice. Also brought to you by starch-based adhesives. You know the kind. There's nothing quite like sending a letter and licking the rim of the envelope to seal that sucker up. We know they've come up with better solutions, and at the very least, we could use a damp paper towel. But who doesn't want the thrill of licking paper and the risk of a bleeding tongue? Starch-based adhesives, the best way to get a free snack in the middle of a workday.
Free snack. Yum.
We were talking about envelope systems today, so it made me think of that.
That's perfect.
The little treat you get when the envelope tastes good.
Right.
Well, let's get into these articles. And our first one is brought to us by none other than DaveRamsey.com. We don't often reference Dave Ramsey's material, even though so much of this movement of debt freedom kind of began with some of the things he is doing. Mm-hmm. But not that we... go along with everything that he says, but...
He has some good points.
He does, yes. And this envelope system is one of them. So this one explains just what it is. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with this or you want some more details, we're just going to go through it. So what did you think about this article, Allison?
I thought it was very informative. It's very... What I like about it is that it's fact-based. It kind of just gives you like a really good starting point to know exactly what it is and how to implement it.
Yeah. Speaking of what, how did they describe what it is? Also mixed with your own knowledge. What is it?
It's basically using envelopes. You pull out cash from your checking account and you put them in separate category envelopes of categories that you tend to overspend in. So it's not necessarily like pulling out cash for your electricity bill, but more like pulling out cash for food, restaurants, shopping. That way you can kind of have a visual guide of how much you've spent and how much you have left.
Yeah, I liked how they described it as like a tool to help you stick to your budget, because it's something that will tell you when to stop spending. There isn't really any other way that seems as effective to say, okay, stop, you're out.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If you're just swiping your debit card, there's no like ding, 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 you're done. But
exactly.
When it's out of the envelope, it's out.
Yes. It's very hands-on. It's for people who need that extra push to actually follow through with their plan that they had set previously.
Yeah. So in order to do this, this article goes through just the how-tos, like how this works. And so they start off by saying that, number one, think of the budget categories that you need to have in the cash envelope. So these are things like groceries, going out to restaurants, gas, hair and makeup, car maintenance, personal items like a miscellaneous envelope or entertainment or gifts. Some of those things that you are regularly going out and spending money on. What are some categories that you've used here, Allison?
So we use groceries and restaurants. I do not use cash for my gas because, we started our cash envelope system whenever I was pregnant and we had an infant, and there was no way I was going to get my infant out every time and go in and pay for my gas with cash. And it's not typically an area where our family overspends because I don't have like the desire, like, oh, I'm just so excited to go fill my car up with gas. For me,
crap, I'm out of my budget for gas.
Exactly. For me, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to cook dinner tonight. Let's, you know, even though I bought all the groceries to make my dinner, let's go out to a restaurant. And then I can go in my restaurant's budget and be like, nope, I don't have enough. I need to go ahead and cook the dinner like I had planned. So, we use groceries, restaurants. We do have a car maintenance. It's almost like a sinking fund for us because we have very old cars. We have a fun money envelope, which is kind of like our entertainment. And then we have one for gifts as well.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
What's next in this process?
So once you decide actually what you want to be setting up your categories as, you have to figure out your budget amount. A lot of people will message me on Instagram or send me emails and say, how much should be in my grocery budget? Or how much do you put in your fun money? And my answer is... It just depends. I mean, every person is different. Every family is different. So you have to actually sit down and do the work. I can't do it for you.
What?
I know. Right? Like, if I could, I would make everyone's budget. Like, that sounds like so much fun.
For the right amount of money.
Exactly. So what I recommend doing is actually like going back in your previous bank statements and getting an idea for how much you spend in these categories and then asking yourself, is that a reasonable amount? Or am I going way overboard? Mm-hmm. And give yourself grace, because I remember the first time we wrote our budget and used our cash envelopes, we did not choose an amount that was realistic. And so it took some time getting used to it. But you have to actually sit down, write your budget out, figure out how much you want to spend. So, for instance, if you want $500 in groceries for a whole month, you'll pull that out. Or you can, if you get paid biweekly, you can pull out $250 and another $250. So that way, when you go to the grocery store, if you only have $100 left and you aren't, that's all you have, you know, okay, I cannot spend over $100. So if my bill is more than $100, I have to choose my least favorite item and put it back.
Nice. You're so well acquainted with this envelope system. It's amazing.
Oh, I've been using it. We have been using envelopes for over 7 years.
Wow.
So it's been, I know.
Yeah.
And like exclusively, I remember there were a couple of like summer months when we were like, let's go rogue and go off the envelopes. And we spent so much money. So,
yeah.
So I trust it. Yeah. I know it. I trust it. But I only use it for certain categories. Some people think that I use, like, I pull out my entire paycheck in cash. I do not do that. That is not what the cash envelope system is.
Right. Yep. So then next, after you have created the categories, then you want to create and fill the cash envelopes, right? Mm-hmm. It's not enough to just say, oh, here's what I've allotted to it. Now you got to start to do it.
Yes.
So filling, actually finding, and we're talking tangible envelopes and filling those envelopes with the budgeted amount. Now, of course, this will depend on how you get paid, how often you get paid. So if you've budgeted $500 a month for groceries, but you only get paid by weekly, then you would do the $250 initially, and then you know, for the first 2 weeks, and then when you get your next paycheck, put in another $250 and kind of work it that way. Any tips here, Allison, that you found along the way of just this process of actually filling the envelopes with cash?
Yes. So what I do specifically is after I write my budget, I flip over my budget, and on the back, I list out the actual denominations I need, and I make a little tally chart for, okay, I want all of my groceries in $100 bills. But what I found is for my restaurant's budget, I don't want to go to Chick-fil-A and hand them a $100 bill. They don't really appreciate that. So all of my groceries is usually in $100 denominations. And then my restaurants, I pull out in $50 denominations. And so what I do is I actually go through and I choose the denominations I need for every single cash envelope. That way, when I go to pull out the money, I can tell the teller, look, I need, you know, five $100 bills, I need four $50 bills, you know, a 20 and a 10, or however you separate it. We even will pull out ones to pay our kids their chores. Because I'm not going to pay my kid an $100 bill for their chores, you know?
Oh, that'd be sweet, though.
I know. And so you need to go in with a plan. Because otherwise, if you pull out $800, but you want it separated among five envelopes and you need some 20s and some 50s, you're going to be standing there with these $100 bills and you're going to say, wait a minute, this, you know, this isn't working. So you have to make sure that you think of that in advance so that you can make it work for you.
Nice. And of course, the last one, number four, spend only what you've put into the cash envelope.
That's the hardest
part. Yeah, this one like seems obvious. It's funny that they put it as a step. But I must admit, I do not do the envelope system to the same degree that I used to. Like, I've taken principles from it that help to inform the way that I budget now. But when I did do this to, you know, to the T, this was something that was a discipline for me. Of there were times when I needed to spend more and I would borrow from others, and that's like, that's a no-no, although it's part of the learning process. But
well, and it's part of life. I mean, we've been doing the cash envelope system for 7 years, and there are times that we still go over usually our restaurant's budget, if I'm being completely honest. It is our restaurant's amount that is the most difficult for us. And we've been known to be like, oh, we're out, but that's okay. We'll just, you know, put it on our debit card, or we'll just borrow from groceries. So it is a discipline. And I can tell you that after 7 years, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm a lot better than I was 7 years ago. I stick to my budget much better. So it's, I think it's, you know, practice makes progress. I don't always think that practice makes perfect, but it does make progress. And if you can see progress in your, you know, in your budgeting journey and in your financial journey, then that's what it's all about, because it's not ever going to be perfect.
I think you said that in episode 18,
the
practice makes progress. I'm glad that you did. I'm glad that that's so ingrained in your vernacular, because it's such a beautiful statement about what we're working towards.
Right.
That, growth, not perfection.
Exactly.
Just getting better and making it work for us in all the nuances of who we are as individuals. So I did like that this article went through some of the frequently asked questions that I'm sure are burning on the minds of a lot of people listening to this episode. So I do want to go through these.
Yes.
And one of the questions says, which along this lines of spend only what you have in the cash envelope. So what if I run out of money in my cash envelope? Thoughts on that, Allison?
Exactly. So if you run out of money, like, it's going to happen. There's going to be a time when you run out of money and you're like, oh no, what do I do? And so what I do is I just really try my best to say, like, okay, if I run out of money in my restaurant's envelope, like, that's it. I don't get to go out to eat again until we get paid again. That's easier to do than if you run out of money in your groceries envelope, because you have to buy groceries again. So my thought is, really, you know, if you can live without that item for the rest of the month or until you refill your cash envelopes, that's what you need to do. If not, then you need to really look at your spending and say, okay, where did I go wrong that's causing me to run out of money, so that way I can learn from this experience? And is my budgeted amount reasonable? Because if you're consistently running out of money in your groceries envelope, then you might just need to up it a little bit to give yourself a little bit of wiggle room in there. So that's what I would say.
Yeah. My goodness. We're getting way more than this article describes just by having you on the show, which is awesome. Like, the article touches on some of that, but we're getting even more like wisdom and expertise from you, which I love. And so the next one is, what if some of my expenses are online? And here's what the article describes. They're saying that the point of the envelope system, well, one of the points of it, not the only one, is that you are more connected with the money that you're spending, which should cause you to be more mindful about the way that you're spending money rather than just swiping a card or having an automatic payment. So part of what they're arguing is to push back on some of that and say, hey, look at what you're purchasing online and maybe try to make that a more tangible purchase, because it might help you to think about, well, do I need just that constant order from Amazon coming through, or some of those mindless purchases that we're making. That being said, I don't think it's completely advocating for every single thing to be paid in cash through the envelope system. That, yeah, there are just some payments like health insurance that might just come out automatically.
Right.
And okay, fine, make sure that that's in your budget. So there is some wiggle room there, it seems, but it's also not saying, okay, well then fine, then don't do the envelope system. Take a look at what you could move to a more tangible purchase. What are your thoughts on that, Allison?
I mean, I think that's all great, because you know, we don't pay all of our expenses with cash envelope system. I think it's about finding what works for you and your family, and it's going to be different than what works for me and my family. So really, truly deciding where are the places that I need to develop better habits, because that's the purpose of the cash envelope, to help you develop those better financial habits.
So then what happens? I've never had this problem before, but I'd love to know, for those who do have this problem, what if there is leftover money?
Oh.
Let's say I didn't go out as much as I thought I was going to, and I've got more in my entertainment. What should happen with that?
So if you have leftover money, the article says to, number one, congratulate yourself, because that's awesome and you're doing it right. And then it says that it's okay to celebrate within reason. So, you know, don't go overboard and book a fancy vacation or anything like that, but, you know, go to a dinner, get yourself a nice latte that maybe treat yourself, or you can always roll it over to the next month. So kind of leave it in that envelope. So that way you have extra the following pay period, or you roll it over and then you can budget that much less the following pay period in that same category. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen often for me. Leftover money. Right. It's glorious when it does. It's like the clouds part and the light shines down and there's angels singing in the background. And I'm like, yes, I did this right. But, you know, it wouldn't be special if it happened all the time.
Yeah. But if you approached it like the government, you know, you might just have to say, I have to spend all of this. Otherwise, they're going to make me decrease my budget and I won't be allotted this much next month.
True. That is true. But let's not approach it like that.
Good one. Yeah. And they even say that you could, if you're really good and you want that extra halo, to put it towards your debt snowball if you are still in debt and trying to pay off that.
That's what we used to do.
Throw it towards debt, throw it towards savings, throw it towards vacation. Oh, there's so much you could do with extra money.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And then the last one that people are always asking is, what about emergencies? Like, what happens if an emergency pops up and I'm going to have to go over, you know, at this point? And so, yeah, you have no choice but to shift some things around in your envelope funds. And that's why it's called an emergency. Of course, if you kind of align with some of these baby steps that Dave Ramsey puts out, or really anybody in this kind of personal finance space, is to have an actual emergency fund.
Yes.
So that you may not have to go into other envelopes to pay for that emergency, but you can borrow from the emergency fund if it's a true emergency, right? We're not talking like, oh no, like,
I really
need those shoes, or like a haircut, or that's not an emergency. It's like my car broke down, or I am bleeding. I licked too many envelopes. Now what? So yeah, just to be paying attention. And then, but if you're running into a lot of quote unquote emergencies, that might be a time to relook at your budget. Are you allotting enough to each envelope to actually make this worthwhile? We don't want this to be an absolute failure every single month.
Exactly.
So with that said, before we move into the next article, I do want to talk through some of the advantages. Like, why do this? Because I know for some, they're probably like, this sounds like some work, a little bit more effort than maybe other budgeting approaches. And I think the article even talks about some of the advantages, but even from your perspective, Allison, what are some of the things that you've noticed this system helps with?
I totally think that this system helps you really learn how you're spending your money. It forces you to face your habits. It forces you to physically see where you're overspending or where it is difficult for you, where you're having trouble with those impulse purchases. And it makes you, to me, it makes you want to do better. It makes you want to change and to really focus on your finances, hold you accountable. And it really makes it hard. You know when you're going to be overspending. You know, if I'm just using my debit card all the time, I could be going to the grocery store every week and go overspending a little bit here and there. But when I go with my cash envelopes and I look like we're going to the grocery store today, we have $105 left. It makes it obvious if I'm going to be overspending if my bill is over $105. That's it. I mean, you know, whereas if I was just swiping a debit card, if you're not actively adding up those purchases and really focusing on those categories, then it's easier to overspend.
Yeah, it's easier to say, okay, my budget was 100, so this was 105. All right, no big deal.
Yeah. Oh,
and maybe in that
enough.
Moment it's not, but in time, if you're constantly overspending $5, $10, $15, that certainly adds up.
Yes.
Yeah, this article also says, along with what you're saying, it keeps you on track. It forces discipline. So even if this isn't a system that you end up following for the rest of your life, it is a fantastic way to jumpstart.
Yes.
If you are having a lot of difficulty reining in your budget, sticking to a budget, paying off debt, it just seems like I just can't get my head in the game. Mm-hmm. This one really connects you to your spending. I would even argue, as I've said already, it makes you more mindful about how you're spending, how much you're spending, and connects you with that transaction a whole lot more than, like we said, swiping a debit or credit card. So it creates more discipline in that way. It keeps you on track. It makes it really hard to overspend.
Yes.
It's very difficult to go over $100 if that's all you have in your cash envelope. So I would at least recommend this for people starting out on this journey. I think it even helps the budgeting process make more sense versus everything kind of being up in our heads or maybe even on paper, on the computer. This is like, okay, I see how this works. For those of us who are more tactile learners or visual, that this is a fantastic way to get some hands-on interaction with your money.
I totally agree.
So that being said, our next article is talking about kind of the flip side, a little bit of devil's advocate. And we're not afraid to go there, you know?
No,
we're
let's cool. Talk
about it. We can have some people push back on this. So this article talks about seven reasons that they literally say that the envelope system, budgeting system, is a terrible idea.
Not just bad, terrible.
So they threw it down, and we know exactly where they're coming
they're
from
like,
on this
forget
one.
Forget this.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to have a candid conversation about this. Of that, there are some valid points in here, but there's also some things that we might be able to even, have some dialogue through. So, Allison, what did you think about this article? Because I know you've been doing the envelope system for 7 years. It's worked for you and your family. You've figured out how to make it effective for you. Thoughts on this? What stood out to you?
So obviously I'm a little bit biased because the cash envelope system has been, I would say, truly the catalyst for changing our family. I mean, you know, the desire to become debt-free, but then this was almost like the tool to help us learn self-control and discipline. No system is perfect. There are problems with the cash envelope system, and it's all about, are the cons heavier than the pros? Are they weighted more? And for me, there are so many more pros than cons with our family. So one of the things was you need to carry a lot of cash. Like, yes and no. I remember the first time I started the cash envelope system, I tried it out actually like when I was single, and I remember I got out like $800 and I was walking out of the bank and I was like clutching my purse and I was like, they all know. They know I have $800.
They can see it in my eyes.
Someone's going like, oh my gosh, I'm shaking. Like, do I look too fidgety? I was glancing all around me. I got in my car and immediately locked my doors. I got home and I like peeked out my blinds. Like, they all know I have it on me. But the truth is
you
that,
need to like, drive around in an armored vehicle,
exactly.
Like with a sign that says like, I carry guns.
Yeah. I mean, like I was nervous. I'm not nervous anymore. And I don't keep all the money on me. You know, you lock it up in a safe place at home. You take only what you really need. Like, I don't carry my grocery envelope around with me all the time. I don't need to have hundreds of dollars in an envelope for groceries. I only take it to the grocery store when I go to the grocery store. And when I get home, I put it back out where it belongs. So yes, it can be nerve-wracking. However, it is a common misunderstanding that you carry the cash on your body at all times. You only take what you really need. Now, that does mean that you have to kind of plan in advance. It keeps me from going to the grocery, like making random stops at the grocery store and buying things during the week. You know, I have my set day I go. If I don't get what I need then I need to learn to live without it until I go, you know, in a week's time. So it really helps me save money.
Right. But, right. You
know, I was scared at first. I was nervous at first. However, whenever you know, sometimes I'll just go straight through the teller. I don't even get out of my car. So I don't even walk into the bank. I just go through the drive-thru. I tell them what I need. I get it out and I go on. I'm not like risking the fear of someone seeing me in the bank, getting the cash out and then walking back to my car. So,
which is why they call this a discipline, right? And it's because it's intersecting also with so many other habits that we have in life connected to our spending. You know, I think for me, there's a nervousness with that of, oh, well, then if I keep it at home, like a lot of times I'll just pop in on my way home from work to grab something along the way. And part of, you know, pushing back on my own argument there is, well, is that the best way to do things? Is that partly why some of my budget does get thrown off course is because I'm making these random stops, random purchases that I'm not being super mindful about. So, and again, it may not work to the T for everyone's lifestyle, right, but it is worth trying to see, wow, I could really discipline myself in this area and others if I tried this one out for a bit. One thing that I did notice with this, along the lines of carrying a lot of cash, is just the change that you start to acquire when you use cash, and it started to get heavy. Even if I wasn't carrying around a lot of cash, I found I was carrying around a lot of change and then like shoving the change into the envelopes. And then I just look like a crazy person pulling out the envelopes with all this loose change. Like, do you have any tips on that, or what have you found there?
I don't keep the change in the envelopes. If I ever get change, I put it in my wallet, like my little zipper section of my wallet. And it just kind of sits there. And then the next time I make a purchase, no matter what category it's in, I try to see if I can make exact change. So I'm always trying to make exact change. And if I can't, then I take the change and I put it in my wallet. That way next time I can try to make exact change. And then if my change in my wallet gets a little heavy, then we have a jar and we add to the jar. Whenever it gets full, we take it to our credit union and we have it put straight into our vacation fund. Nice. So we have a separate savings. Mm-hmm. Last time we were able to put, I think it was like $86 in this jar straight into our vacation fund because it just got all the way full and now it's, you know, growing back again. So I don't keep the change in the actual envelopes themselves.
It's funny that you say that because that is something that I started to do just with the change. It just became my vacation budget. So yeah, I was stealing a bit from each envelope for my vacation, which I'm okay with that.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's not like you were spending it on something bad. It was just a little leftovers. And then you can always try to make exact change.
Exactly. So she also mentions that she argues, this article, for better online budgeting systems, like in her estimation. Now, I will say this woman says she did try the envelope system and she says she tried and tried and tried and tried and it just didn't work for her. And one of the reasons that she's saying is she feels like it's a bit archaic and arguing for that there are better online budgeting systems. Mm-hmm. And okay, I see her point. I will say this is something that I'd push back with a bit, because the whole point with the envelope system is that it connects us with our cash and spending. That, yeah, there are online budgeting systems where you can just like swipe through things and it's all on your phone. And that can work, right? There's all kinds of different people who need different budgeting systems. But the point of the envelope system is that you're more connected to it, like we've talked about already. And there is value in that that no other system can provide.
Right. Well, and here's the deal is, you know, she says there's better options, but the truth is that I use the cash envelope system and I track my expenses on a spreadsheet. So she's saying that they're one and the same, which I say, no, they are not. They are not one and the same. I still track all of my expenses and I can break them down into categories and I track, you know, it includes everything. It includes what I take out of my cash envelopes as well as all of my bills and anything else that I swipe my debit card for. But I use my cash envelopes to help me learn how to have discipline. So she's saying, well, you can just use the, you know, mint.com. Well, no. I mean, yeah, you can. You can just use it. But the envelope system has its different purpose. She's linking them together. I say, no, they're separate. They're two totally different things.
It's not just a way to track. It's also a way to spend. Yeah, that's a great point. It's funny. We both, on our notes, we both mentioned number four. So go ahead and talk about that one.
So number four, she says, well, you can't take advantage of credit card rewards. Okay. So she's saying like, oh, well, if you don't, you know, if you're using cash envelopes, you can't use your credit card rewards. Well, I have a credit card and we use rewards, but we use them on other purchases that aren't what we would spend in cash. So are we using them for our groceries? No, but we do use them for some online purchases. We get credit card rewards for like when we booked our vacation online, we used our credit card so that way we could get those rewards and we use it for different like doctor's visits or things like that, and then we pay it off. So we use our credit card to get rewards for some of those other purchases that we would not make in cash. We're still getting the rewards. In fact, we just got the Southwest Companion Pass.
Heck yeah.
I'm so excited. Good work. So excited. So we use the cash envelope budget system every single month, and we also use credit card rewards to our benefit. So I would argue that you can do both. It's a system if you want to do it, If you're willing to do both, then you can make it work.
And that's part of making it work for you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be so rigid to what is described specifically from one source. Yeah, it can be flexible. Mm-hmm. So the last one I wanted to mention on here was number 5. She makes the point of needing to juggle around a lot of money. And what she meant by this is that if one person has the grocery envelope, well, then what about when her husband needs to go out to grab something? Then she's got to give him the envelope, or maybe he was out already and picked it up. So, and he borrowed from the envelope that he had, and then she's got to swap money from hers. And it's just like so complicated. And so I get that. I did run into some of that when I had envelopes. One thing I would say about that is I actually split for me, and I'm curious to see how you've handled this, Allison, but when I did it, you know, specifically this way, I would split it in half. So whatever a grocery budget was, split in half, or a percentage based on kind of who normally buys more of what, mm-hmm. to both my husband and myself. So we both had a grocery envelope. We both had an entertainment envelope that we could purchase out of. Certainly there were times when maybe he did spend more that month than I did, so then I might replenish his envelope or vice versa.
Right.
But we were easily able to get around that difficulty. What are your thoughts on that?
So I definitely think that this is a big drawback of using cash envelopes, and I think it's something that keeps a lot of people away from cash envelopes. They say, well, exactly what you said, like, I need to run home by the store, but I don't have the grocery envelope. So I've dealt with this in two ways. Number one is, well, actually more like three ways. We try to be like plan a lot in advance. So very specific. You know, we sit down every Sunday and we have our family business meeting and we kind of talk about our activities and things like that. And so we are aware of our schedule and, you know, anything's like, oh, we need to go by the store and pick up cupcakes for some sort of school party. We know that in advance. So we do try to be that type A marriage where there are not these random surprises. But there are random surprises. So if that happens, then we try to always run home and grab the envelope in advance. That is easier for us because we do live close to where we work. However, I understand that that's not always the case for people. And so if for some reason we can't run home and grab the envelope, then we will spend it on our debit card. And then we take that amount out of the cash envelope, maybe at a later date, maybe the next day, and we go deposit it back into our checking account. So there have been times where my husband has to work on a Saturday and I refuse to take my kids to the grocery store. Like, I know people might think I'm crazy for that, but my grocery store is my like happy place where I have no children allowed. I drink my coffee, I walk through, I only get what's on my list, and it's a stress-free environment and little trip for me. If I have to take my kids, I will instead order my groceries online and go pick them up. You cannot pay for that with cash. You have to do it on your debit card. So what I will do is I will literally budget it out, pick it up, and on the way back from the grocery, stop by the bank and deposit the cash into my checking account. So it's almost like I make it work for me in that sense. If that happens, then you can always do that. Is it annoying? Is it sometimes, you know, just that extra step? Yes, but there's lots of extra steps in life that we have to take sometimes. And so to make things work for us. So that is what we do as well.
Something that I so admire about you and your family and the way that you guys are walking out your own budget is how intentional you're being with these things. Because it sounds like the way that you're tracking your money and spending your money is leading to family meetings and communication with your husband and decreased spending on frivolous things and greater spending on the things that you want to spend on. It's just really neat to see how this technique has worked for you and how it has then helped you to incorporate some really healthy things into your life.
Oh, well, thank you. I never thought about super it like cool. that. Because I think like if we had never gone on this journey, there's no way our life would look the way we are. You know, like you're right. Like it forces that communication piece that maybe you don't think you need, but then you're like, oh my gosh, this is great. Having that extra communication, being on the same page.
Yeah. Speaking of great things and being on the same page with stuff, it's time for
the Bill of the Week.
This is the Bill of the Week.
It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hey ladies, I'm calling to share my Bill of the Week. Well, really my favorite bill of the entire year is that I just went to the SPCA, paid $35, and adopted an adult cat who is completely up to date on all of her shots. Her name is Tilly, and she is my brand new best friend. So I just wanted to share that your Bill of the Week could be something fun, like an adopting an adult cat instead of buying a brand new kitten. Saves you tons of money, and they're still fantastic friends. All right, have a great week, guys. Bye.
Okay, so I love this Bill of the Week because we just adopted about a month ago a kitten from a high-kill shelter. And so, like, this, like, hits close to home because we have sweet Phoebe, who we adopted, who was fostered, and they found on its the day it was born, and they said, okay, well, someone needs to foster this before, like, if they don't have someone to foster it by 5 p.m., you know, we have to put her down. And so my friend fostered her and then convinced us to adopt her. And so now we have Phoebe and Joey as pets.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. Yeah, this is so amazing. Tilly and Tilly's mom. I don't think you shared your name with us. So we'll just call you Tilly's mom. What a fantastic Bill of the Week. And so fun to be willing to spend money, but on a life that you can now care for, which is so great.
And an adult and cat.
I know.
Because people don't want frugal. Them.
Right? How you can do something so kind and frugal at the same mm-hmm. time, because it probably is less than, like you said, buying a kitten.
Yes.
Not from a shelter.
And I think that I love how some bills like bring you joy, and this one brought her joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing that bill. That's a sweet one. So if you want to submit your Bill of the Week, whatever it is, whether it's sweet or funny or realistic or practical or none of those things, whatever it is, if it's a bill of some sort, pop on over to frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill and you can leave us a bill, whatever you come up with. And we'll be sitting over here just ready and waiting to hear what all you creative folks come up with. And now, you know what comes next. It's the second half of the show called The Lightning Round, which always gets more and more intense. I just love it. It really has nothing to do with lightning.
Or electricity.
It's just enjoyable. But we want to talk about how to make the envelope system work for you. So I do have a link in our show notes to Allison's website, inspiredbudget.com, and everything that she has to say about the envelope system. But we want to talk a little bit about, okay, this can sound daunting if you've never been this connected with your budget or your money, but how you can make this work for you. What you got, Allison?
Okay, so here's the truth. The truth is that what we've talked about on this podcast is that no method is perfect, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be perfect. So what I tell people is, listen, just try it out for 3 months, you know, try it out, because the first month, like, chances are likely you're not going to get it right on the first month. I know it took us 3 full months to be like, okay, this is how this works. These are our habits. We can make this work mm-hmm. for us. Try it out for 3 months. And then if you hate it, like, no hard feelings. That's fine. Find something that works for you, but at least give it a shot.
Yeah. We're not offended.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Exactly.
I also think that it's important to have this be something that you want to interact with. So for me, that includes making it something beautiful to you. It's something that I've realized even in my tiny living or minimalist lifestyle, I'm really only able to do it, not because I'm an incredible person. I mean, believe what you want. But my small space is beautiful. The things that I interact with in it are functional and beautiful. Like, I've got one knife, but it is a good knife.
Yeah.
Not 20 knives that are broken and not sharp and don't cut my tomatoes. So that's a tangent. But for me, it was important for the envelope to be something that I wanted to interact with, something that was pleasing to the eye, something that was functional for me. And you've got some great ways of making it functional and beautiful, Allison, over on your website.
Yes, I actually will send you to your inbox 14 pages of envelopes for free. Yeah, for free. If you sign up for my Budgeting Basics email course, then, and we can put that link in the show notes as well, then you get a whole bunch of printables, and I like to print them on really pretty cardstock and just use packing tape to secure them. And it, you know, choose colors that make you happy, or you can always draw on them or add pretty tape or designs. I even have some envelopes that I've designed that have patterns that are in my Inspire Budget shop, which are, you know, there's like a floral set and there's a shades of blue set. And so making it something that, like you said, you enjoy, that's beautiful, that brings you joy, just that small amount, it's going to make you want to try it longer or use or actually implement it and use it.
Mm-hmm. And we like free. We're frugal. Yeah. So of course we like free. Free printables are awesome. So I'll definitely put that link in there. I also think that this is just great for those who want to stick to a strict budget. If you are serious this time about getting out of debt, I know we've talked about we all can fall off the horse sometimes, but if this time you really mean it, well, this just is going to work for you. This is a fantastic way to get serious and make some real changes in the way that you spend and interact with your money. So
absolutely. Our family, you know, we started the envelope system because we wanted to become debt free. And this was a tool or a method we could use and put in place to help us be better when it came to our finances so that we could send more money to debt and pay off debt. And it just works. If you put in the effort and you truly follow, you know, follow through with it, it works. You will be amazed at how much extra money you find in your budget, because it truly forces you to stay on track with the categories where you overspend. And that is what has, you know, allowed our family to pay off that mountain of debt in 4.5 years while growing our family. And it has allowed us to, you know, save more than we ever thought we could and just continue to live a lifestyle that is not only, you know, a comfortable, honestly, like we live a comfortable lifestyle. We live a comfortable life. We have our spending money, but it still allows us to reach those financial goals where otherwise we wouldn't be able to reach them because our spending wouldn't be in check.
Yeah. And again, other things, just to reiterate some of the things we've already talked about. Ways to make it effective. Make it work for you. Don't feel like you can't bend the rules a bit here. That yes, if you want to use your credit card to get points, decide what purchases you're going to use your credit card for. If you're concerned about putting money back and forth between spouses or others in your family or household, then make sure each person has money for each category. You decide what the categories are. You decide how much goes into them. So make it work for you. And again, follow along with Allison because she does this technique like a champ. So she's constantly got great tips for you on how to make this work for you. Allison, what else do you have going on over at Inspired Budget?
Well, goodness. Oh my gosh. I have some great budget planners. I have a really big budget planner that's coming out soon. I'm excited about it. Actually, it'll probably be out by the time this airs. I have tons of articles and information on how to budget depending upon how you get paid, because I know it can be overwhelming if you get paid differently. So I break it down for you. I'm over on Instagram. I'm in my stories daily sharing with you how I budget, make savings second nature, and pay off debt, and how I can help you do the same thing.
That's awesome. So check it out. And last but not least, we got this Frugal Friends book club going on, and I'm super excited about this one. It's July. We're mid-July now. And so we are reading Mom and Dad, We Need to Talk by Cameron Huddleston for book club. And in case we didn't introduce it on last week's episode, this one is how to approach conversations with your parents about finances, which makes me a little uncomfortable even just describing the book, which means that it probably is something that we all need to be engaging on and knowing how to approach those conversations with dignity. So fantastic book, fantastic topic for all of us just to be kind of breaking down some stigma on that too.
Yeah.
Just in all aspects of finance. So check it out.
And because we love you and because you're awesome, we want to give away a free copy. And all you have to do is leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, screenshot that review, and send it to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll select the winners at the end of the month because you know what? Who doesn't love a free giveaway? And that's what we want to do for you.
If you want an example of a helpful review, here's our review of the week. Amy says, entertaining practicality. Nice title, Amy. Thanks so much for that. These two ladies crack me up and offer great tips on living a frugal lifestyle. And the accompanying online group is great too. Thanks so much, Amy. And you're right. We not only have a podcast, we also have a Frugal Friends Facebook group called the Frugal Friends Community. So it is a private group. You do have to request to enter in. It's not that big deal. We're not that exclusive. We just ask you if you're going to be chill in the group, chill in the chat. So we have some great times over there with talking about some tips. People are so active in the group, sharing free things that they've learned about, tips, asking questions, giving us some funny pictures. So
yeah,
join us over there.
It's a great group. I love being a part of it.
Oh, yeah. We love having you, Allison. We are like literally, I love that we are frugal friends. Like there's so much meaning to just the title of our podcast. We are gaining friends in this kind of frugal community. So it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's all, you guys. I hope that you enjoyed hearing from Allison as much as I did, and my newest little stand-in co-host over here doing a fantastic job.
Well, thank you.
So you will hear more from Allison next week, y'all.
Yes.
See you then.
See you next week.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.